Hi, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed five bills last week that lawmakers passed after midnight on the last day of the legislative session. Dunleavy says the bills, which passed on what was technically the 122nd day of the session, violated the Alaska Constitution's limit on the length of the legislative session. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone has more.
Article 2, Section 8 of the Alaska Constitution says the legislature must adjourn, quote, no later than 120 consecutive calendar days after it convenes. In 1989, the Alaska Supreme Court found that the constitutional length of the session was actually 121 days. The justices found that the first day didn't count under the constitutional wording. And all of the bills that Dunleavy vetoed were passed after midnight, making it day 122. That is one day later than the deadline. And an Alaska political blog had promised to challenge the bills in court if they were signed into law. So what are the bills? Well, they cover a wide variety of topics. Most would make simple but consequential changes to state law. One, sponsored by Big Lake Republican Kevin McCabe, would prevent insurance companies from discriminating against elected officials. Another would eliminate what the sponsor, Kodiak Republican Louise Stutz, says are redundant registration requirements for large vessels documented by the Coast Guard. A third, from Fairbanks Republican Frank Tomaszewski, would allow the Alaska Railroad to issue bonds to replace a passenger dock and terminal in Seward. The fourth, from House Labor and Commerce Committee Chair and Wasilla Republican Jesse Sumner, would allow people under 21 to serve alcohol and require bars to post signs saying that alcohol can cause cancer. And the last, also from Sumner, would expand employers' ability to pay salaries and wages electronically, including with something like a prepaid debit card. Now, lawmakers can call themselves into special session to attempt to override the vetoes or simply repass the bills. The editorial board of the state's largest newspaper, the Anchorage Daily News, recently urged Dunleavy to call a special session to repass the bills to avoid the very constitutional issues that Dunleavy cited in his veto message. But instead, Dunleavy is telling lawmakers to try again next year and reintroduce the bills at the start of the next legislative session early next year. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And there are currently 11 candidates running to unseat Alaska Democratic Congresswoman Mary Peltola this November. One candidate, though, has some extra hurdles. KRBD's Jack Darrell has more.
In June, a letter came in the mail to KRBD. It was a photocopy of a prison ID card with inmate in big block letters in one corner, and in the other, a smiling man, maybe mid-30s, with a long, bushy beard. Underneath, written in Sharpie with a lot of highlighter and underlined, Eric Hafner, Democrat, running for U.S. Congress in Alaska from federal prison. A quick internet search showed he was, in fact, on the ballot. So I called him.
This call is from a federal prison. This call is from...
Hello.
To accept this call, press 5.
Hafner is currently in a medium security federal prison near Otisville, New York. The phone system in the prison only allows 15-minute calls before they abruptly cut off. He's not a fan.
Trying to communicate here where you have 510 minutes a month, you have this phone system here, you don't have access to the internet, those are major hurdles.
Hafner was sentenced to 20 years for threatening a series of politicians, police, judges, and attorneys in New Jersey. This all happened while he lived outside the country. According to the indictment, he caught a flight from Hawaii to Tokyo in 2016, and the next day called a police department in Monmouth County and said an officer there should be shot. The officer in question had arrested Hafner on a juvenile complaint when he was a kid. And for the next 2 years, while living in Ireland, the indictment says Hafner continued what a New Jersey U.S. attorney at the time called a campaign of terror against a bunch of officials, officials who were all linked to petty cases he faced as a teenager. Hafner says they arrested him at a U.S. airport on the Pacific island of Saipan. He denies all charges.
I'm innocent of all charges. I deny all allegations. But you're throwing a 20-year sentence at me for an allegation that would be on average about a 24-month federal sentence. I think it's pretty clear the whole thing's a political stitch-up.
But a federal jury took a different view, and he was convicted in 2022. But Hafner says none of this should scare off potential voters. For one, he says he's not the only one on the ballot with a criminal record.
You have Donald Trump, who's a convicted felon who's on the top of the Republican ticket.
Plus, he says the country has bigger problems.
Our credibility across the world is in tatters. Domestically, we have huge social problems. The gap between rich and poor has been widening at a alarming rate.
Hafner's running as a Democrat for Mary Peltola's seat in Congress. He's never been to the state. So why Alaska?
Alaska is a very unique place with the climate change issues, with the indigenous issues that are in Alaska, but also the very vast opportunity for positive development and progress.
Hafner says he's been running his campaign himself, though his mom tells me in an email that the prison has been experiencing a series of lockdowns recently, which is complicating things. His mom and de facto communications director is Carol Hafner, who, get this, challenged Don Young for the very same seat in 2018, while also living out of the state. So how is it that Hafner can even run for a seat in a state he's never been to? Turns out, according to the U.S. Constitution, you don't actually need to live in a state you're running from until Election Day.
I think I have a very good reason right now that I simply can't come to Alaska.
Hafner still has about 15 years on his sentence, but he says, with the help of Alaska voters, he doesn't think that'll be a problem. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
And glacier outburst flooding in the Mendenhall Lake in River is underway. The latest forecast predicts a crest of more than 15 feet sometime after midnight tonight. That would surpass last year's record-breaking flood. As KTOO's Anna Canny reports, residents along the riverbank are fretting and preparing.
It's a bluebird day in Juneau, but Mendenhall Lake and River are rising quickly, on pace to break flood records. The Mendenhall Valley campground took on water first. On Monday afternoon, campsite host Brendan Beard was wading through the ice-cold glacial water in a pair of swim trunks.
Yeah, it's amazing. Before it was a slow trickle, and now it just seems to be flooding in real quick.
Up behind the Mendenhall Glacier, a glacial lake known as Suicide Basin is currently draining, sending billions of gallons of water downstream in what's known as a glacial outburst flood. Last year's outburst flood was unprecedented, with a crest near 15 feet. Meteorologist Sean Jones with the National Weather Service in Juneau says waters could be even higher this year.
We still are expecting the same volume of water, but because of it releasing faster, we are expecting a slightly higher crest for the worst case scenario, full release. So we updated that from 15 feet up to 15.7 feet. And also, because we're seeing this rise faster, we're also expecting the crest to occur a little bit earlier.
The river is expected to reach its highest point just past midnight tonight. On Monday afternoon, Kim Titus is standing on the Mendenhall Bridge just over the raging river.
I live right down here.
He points towards River Road. The whole bank is now lined with riprap, which residents installed in hopes of protecting their property. Last year, many of Titus's neighbors lost land due to erosion. At least one family in the neighborhood lost their house entirely when it was swept away in the river. Titus's house is slightly further back, so it didn't take on water. But he's been keeping a close eye on flood forecasts.
It's nerve-wracking. Anxious, nerve-wracking. I'm sure I just talked to another friend of mine who lives down there. He goes, well, I won't be sleeping tonight.
Just around the corner, Bob Winter is hanging tight at his house on View Drive. It sits close to the riverbank, and it's taken on water several times since he built it back in 1981.
I've been flooded more than anybody.
Sometime after the first glacial outburst flood started happening just over a decade ago, he had the house raised 3 feet. It wasn't enough. During last year's flood, his house took on more than an inch of water, so he raised it 3 more feet. The work cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It wasn't how I planned on spending retirement money, but we didn't want to move.
He hopes his house will be high enough to avoid flooding this year, but only time will tell. As of Monday afternoon, he was not planning to evacuate.
It is what it is, and if it gets to my house, there's going to be a whole lot of the valley flooded.
The city and borough of Juneau is advising all residents west of Riverside Drive to evacuate tonight. Those who need a place to stay can find shelter at Floyd Dryden Middle School starting at 8 p.m. With help from Clarice Larson in Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
And it's sunny in Juneau today with a high near 79 degrees. Tonight it's going to be also clear with a low around 48. Tomorrow, it's going to be sunny with a high near 77, so close to today. And then Tuesday night, it's going to be around 57 degrees. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO.